Today is Tuesday, January 16th, 2018, and my name is Adam. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Geeky Gay Podcast. I am your host, and this is a personal journal podcast about my life. I'm very much into technology and, you know, computers, the internet, you know, audio equipment, video equipment, all that kind of stuff. And so that's why I consider myself a geek. And I'm into sci-fi and stuff like that as well, but it's mostly I love, you know, computer programming and things of that nature. And so that's why I call it Geeky Gay. So anyway, hey everybody. So I'm recording, I'm sitting here in my car again. And it's funny because I'm not driving. What happened was today I realized, oh my gosh, I haven't recorded and I need to put out a Tuesday episode. And at lunch, I threw the recorder in the car and I thought I'll do it on my way home, or I'll record on my way home. Well, when I here lately, since I've been on my little diet plan, getting ready for the trip, and also, I added cardio at the gym every day, or as many days of the week as I can, and I stopped by the gym on my way home, and I left work, and I forgot that I was going to record in the car while I was driving. And so I got to the gym and I decided, you know what, it's really busy here right now. I guess it's all these New Year's resolutioners or whatever. And, you know, it's right after work. So everyone, it's about 5:45 in the evening. So everyone's getting off of work and coming to the gym. And so it's pretty busy. The parking lot's busy. And I thought, well, I'll just record an episode before I go in and do my cardio. And so you may hear the heater in the car on because it's currently 8 degrees outside. At least that's what my car says. My car says it's 8 degrees. And so I've got the heater on because I don't want to be cold. So I'm hearing the heater. I'm not sure if you guys are going to be hearing the heater or not, but I'm hearing, you know, it'll sound like, I think a blowing air conditioner fan or heater, anything like that, sounds kind of like the engine noise on Star Trek. So maybe it'll just sound like I'm recording this episode from the Enterprise. I don't know. So anyway, so what's been going on since last we talked? Well, you know, I have been working out. I lost another pound this last week. That wasn't really enough. Like, I really need to be losing 2.5 to 3 pounds a week. But I decided, I mean, if I'm going to reach my goal by the time I leave for the trip. But I decided that I was just going to, you know, I'm going to do what I can with my diet. I'm going to cook, you know, at home. We're only going to have a cheat day once a week. We're not going to go to fast food during the week, you know, all that kind of stuff, which is a pain in the butt. I mean, because I'm cooking, and I know I talk about this on every episode, but I'm cooking not three meals a day. I'm cooking 2 meals a day every day. And then one of the meals we're just eating microwave dinners, which apparently that's not as big a deal in other countries because when Mark and I first started dating and everything, and, you know, he saw that I would eat all these microwave dinners, he said, that's not a thing in the Philippines. It's such a small amount and it's yada, yada, yada. And he's like, we don't really have frozen dinners like that in the Philippines. But now I've gotten him not hooked on them because, I mean, who's really going to be hooked on a frozen, on a TV dinner type thing? But, you know, it's a really convenience thing for him as well, so he doesn't mind. And we found some that are pretty good, you know, they're not bad. And so we do those for lunch. But last night, I'll give you guys a little recipe. And I made this up. I don't actually have measurements for anything. But it's a really simple recipe for a fairly low-calorie soup. Because it's been so cold here. Oh, yeah, and I guess I will mention it snowed yesterday. But we got less than an inch. So, you know, it's not. I did come home from work just because my car is a sports car. And I thought, well, you know, just in case, when it started coming down pretty hard when I was at work, I thought, just in case it really sticks. And, you know, I didn't want to take any chances. So I went ahead and went home and worked from home. But it never stuck to the roads. And, but it hasn't been above freezing either. So most of the melting that's happened has just been because of the sun, you know, beaming down on it or whatever, but it never really stuck to the roads. There were some in parking lots, and I almost slipped and busted my ass today in the parking lot, but I was able to get to work just fine. But anyway, so last night it was so cold, and I felt like, oh, this would be a perfect time to make soup. And, you know, we're really like, it gets kind of boring when you're like, okay, I'm going to eat some kind of meat and some kind of vegetable. It's going to either be sauteed or roasted. And so I'm going to have broccoli either roasted or sauteed. I'm going to have cauliflower either roasted or sauteed. I'm going to have, you know, some kind of peas, like snap peas or snow peas or something like that. Again, either roasted or sauteed. I'm going to have Brussels sprouts either roasted or sauteed. Oh, I'm kind of in the mood for rice today. I'm going to have cauliflower rice instead of real rice, because it's less carbs and less calories. So it gets really boring. And then your meat, you know, you're like, you saute the meat in a pan on the stove, and then you finish it in the oven. And you can't add a lot of fats and stuff like that, because you're trying to get really lean cuts of meat and all that. So anyway, I'm like, I need some variety. I need something that's going to give me some variety. So I decided last night, oh, I'm going to try to make a soup, you know. And what I decided was I had some sweet potatoes in the ovens or in the pantry. And I had one onion, and I had some cauliflower that I needed to use, a head of cauliflower. And I had seen on the Chew or something like that, and I've seen several places where if you want to make mashed potatoes, you can mix in some cauliflower to lower the calories and the carbs in your mashed potatoes. And so I thought, what if I make a potato soup, but instead of like a regular potato soup, because I didn't have any regular potatoes, make a sweet potato soup, but add a head of cauliflower to substitute that for some of the sweet potatoes. So I reduced the carbs and the calories some. So what I did, because I thought, you know, I'm gonna use a really chefy Food Network-y term, but to get some more depth of flavor, I thought, oh, okay, well, let's roast these first. Then we'll put them in a saute or a saute pan, but I have a saute pan with really high walls around the edges. That's more of a, I don't even know what to call it. It's like a wok almost, but it's got a flat bottom. So it's not a wok, but the sides look wokish, but the bottom is flat. So, but anyway, so I thought I'll roast these vegetables. So what I did is, I cubed up the cauliflower and the sweet potatoes. I did two medium sweet potatoes and one small head of cauliflower, and I cubed them up to about the same size, about, I don't know, half an inch cubes, maybe inch cubes. And I coated them with olive oil, salt, and I didn't have any pepper, so I used a little bit of, just to add some extra spice, I used some coriander. And you don't have to do that if you don't like the flavor of coriander, you know, and you can add whatever. You can add some cayenne, you can add black pepper, but I just did salt and a little bit of garlic powder as well. And I tossed that around to get them evenly coated with the spices and with the olive oil. And then I put them on a baking sheet in a single layer. So you don't want to have crowded. You don't want it to be crowded, because you don't want to steam them. You want to actually get some caramelization on them. So then I put the oven on 400. You can do anywhere from like 375 to 425. But I did 400. And I roasted them for 30 minutes, and I flipped them halfway. So at 15 minutes, I flipped them so I could get the caramelization or the brown color on two different sides. And while that was happening, I cut up my onion, and this was a purple or a Vidalia onion, and I heated up some olive oil in the pan that I was going to use for this soup, and I sautéed the onion. So I got it nice and soft and translucent. And then I added a little bit of ginger. And I actually cheated. At the store, you can buy these tubes now that have minced ginger, and you just squeeze the tube and it comes out. So I didn't use... It wasn't powdered ginger, but it was like this squeeze tube ginger. So I used that, a little bit of that, maybe a half a teaspoon, maybe a teaspoon of that. And then a little bit of garlic as well. And I sauteed that with the onions. And then when the veggies were done roasting, I tossed those in and sauteed those with the onions for a few minutes. And then I poured in some chicken stock. Now, I had a little bit of chicken stock and a little bit of beef stock left over that I really needed to use. This was kind of a leftovers soup, right? So I did half chicken stock, half beef broth. And then I took an emulsion blender, a wand thing, and I stuck it in there and I pureed the whole thing. And I don't have measurements of the liquid because you need to keep putting liquid until it gets the consistent, a nice creamy, you know, like a, even think of it like a butternut squash soup or something like that. You want a really creamy, thick consistency. So, you know, thinner than a puree, but thicker than, you know, your typical broth-based soup. So kind of in between there. Kind of a silky, you know, texture. And so I pureed it all up and got the texture that I wanted. And then I felt like I needed, so I added a little bit of salt, a little more salt to taste. And then I felt like I needed a little bit of creaminess, but I didn't want to add heavy cream or anything like that. So I added just a little bit of unsweetened almond milk, probably like a fourth of a cup or less of unsweetened almond milk. You certainly don't want to do the sweetened or the vanilla or anything like that. You want to do the, you know, the plain Jane unsweetened. You don't want to add any additional flavors. And I didn't, but if you were doing this at home, you might want to add some honey or something like that to ramp up the sweetness of the sweet potatoes and everything. But anyway, so that was it. So then I just let that simmer for maybe 5 minutes while I was cooking everything else. And we had soup and chicken breast, and we had a little side salad. And it was really good, like really, really good. It had that nice roasted veggie kind of, you know, roasted flavor. It had the sweetness of the sweet potatoes, and really the cauliflower was good. I like roasted cauliflower, so that was good. And the consistency was really good. So welcome to my Food Network podcast, everyone. But no. So anyway, again, there's no set recipe. It's more kind of just roast the vegetables till they're really nice and soft and you have caramelization on them. Saute some onion, add everything together, add a little bit of ginger and garlic, whatever spices you like, and then blend it all up you could even put it in a blender. I don't have a good blender, like a good chef quality blender. So I like to just use my stick emulsion blender for that. But, and then add your broth and a little bit of maybe almond milk to get the creaminess that you want, just for the consistency, whatever consistency that you like. If you like it thicker, less liquid. If you like it, you know, a little bit thinner, more liquid, and then just taste, salt to taste, and it's really good. So I'll give you guys, you're going to be so sick of these job updates, but I had something else. Actually, since I'm going to be talking about a job, I'm going to read an email. So I got an email from Musing Mark after my last podcast, when I spent like the whole episode, talking about this job switch. And he says, "Hey, Adam, based on my corporate experience, I think you're doing the right thing, reaching out and trying to move from a dying team to a new team that has potential for growth. I'm sure that your current manager will understand why you're making this move, and I doubt he will hold it against you. Teams, departments, and organizations rise and fall just like everything else, and most corporate folks realize this. You are wise to think strategically, seize an opportunity, and make the best decision for yourself and your career. No one else is going to do it for you, so good for you for taking the initiative. But you may want to rethink your assumption that you will have to work long hours to prove yourself to your new manager and team. He seems eager to have you on his team, and you have a proven track record with the organization. So don't feel like you have to work yourself to death trying to please him or the new team. Take care. Musing Mark. Well, thank you for the email, Mark. So I have a little bit of an update on that. And so basically, I talked to the recruiter and that all went well. And he told me what the process was. And there's this form that I have to get my manager to sign. I talked to my manager yesterday and I was trying to, I wasn't hinting. I mean, I told him, I said, hey, I just want to let you know, because he point blank asked me, you know, how are you doing? How are you liking the work that you're doing? How do you think the team is doing? All that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I said, well, I did want to take this opportunity to let you know that, you know, I have started talking to this other team, that this new team that's starting up. And I just want you to know that I do have some interest in some positions they have open. And, you know, I said, it's the initial stages, so nothing's set in stone right now, but I did want to let you know. And so I told him that, and then I talked to the recruiter later that day, which this was yesterday, and he told me, he gave me a little bit more details about what the process would be, and it's still kind of up in the air whether I'm going to need an interview or not, because I talked to the manager that would be hiring for the position already, and so basically the recruiter said it would be up to the manager to see if I needed another interview or whether the conversation that I already had was enough. So the one thing that he mentioned that was, and he also said, you know, should I get this role, because it's a role that's based in California, their pay grade, their pay bands are higher theoretically than ours here in Arkansas. And so I might get a little bit of a raise. It's not guaranteed, but there may be a chance that I would get a raise for this position. So that was all good. But he mentioned one thing. He said, now I did want to ask you about your current role. He said, your current role, that same title in the California office is someone who doesn't have a college degree, who doesn't have a degree. And he said, but they have the technical knowledge. And he said, that could be the only issue. He said, is that true? And I said, well, no, I said, in my office, it has nothing to do with the degree. It's your level. So you go from senior to technical expert, you know, in a development role and in a QA role, they both can lead to technical expert. And I said, you know, my expertise is in test automation. It's not necessarily in development, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, well, do you have a degree? And I said, yes, I have a degree, because I do have a degree. He said, okay, then that shouldn't be a problem at all. Well, so then we, and so he says, okay, well, you're just going to need to get your manager to fill out this form, and then, you know, we can take the process from there. So he sent me the form, and I filled it out, and this morning, I got my manager to sign it, and I just told him, hey, I'm going through the process. I just wanted to, you know, again, keep you in the loop. And my manager seemed to be fine with everything. But the one thing now that has me worried is I had never looked at a job listing for this job. You know, I the way that I found out about this job is I approached the manager because I knew he was brand new and he was building a team. And I told him, hey, I have this experience and I think I would be a good fit for your team. And he said, yeah, sounds like you are, you know, are you interested? And I said, yes. And he said, great. And, you know, the last thing I heard from this manager was that he was really excited to have me on his team. So it sounded to me like he had already pretty much made the decision based on his conversations that he's had with me over the past couple of weeks, and that I wouldn't need any further, you know, interviews. And, you know, I was a little bit concerned when the recruiter said that this position required a degree because he didn't specify what degree he meant, but I got some concern that he meant a computer science degree, which I don't have. I have a Bachelor of Arts in music, but I have a minor in computer science. Well, my boss wanted to know if there were, when I got him to sign the paperwork this morning, he wanted to know if there were any job listings, had I actually applied for anything. And I said, well, no, they didn't tell me that I needed to apply. They just said, you know, they would get you to sign this sheet of paper and that maybe do another interview depending if the manager wanted one. And if there was no interview needed, then they would just do it in the system. They would just process the transfer. No big deal. The recruiter said there are just a few button pushes that he needs to do and boom, you know, it's done. Then we would just have to work out, you know, transition details, like how long will I need to transition? What's the transition plan gonna be to bring someone else up to speed on the work that I was doing on my current team, et cetera, et cetera. Well, because my boss mentioned job listings, I just decided to go out to the website and do a search. And I searched for the role that they're hiring for, and sure enough, there it says, computer science bachelor's degree required, or equivalent. And it doesn't say, or equivalent experience. It says, BS in computer science, which I don't have. So now, you know, now my thought process is, I have 15 years of experience in what I do. The manager is already excited to have me on his team. I do not see what a computer science degree matters with all the experience that I've got. And most companies will say a degree or equivalent experience, you know, when they have positions. So you can say, well, I don't have a computer science degree, but I've been in the computer industry for 15 years, and I've got the exact experience that you need for this role. And I think the new manager feels like I have the experience that he's looking for. But the recruiter said he thought it might be an issue if I didn't have a degree. Well, come to find out now, when I looked at the thing, it actually says computer science degree. So now I'm not sure what to do, because part of me says, he asked me if I had a degree. I told him I have a degree, which is the truth. And I should just continue to go through the process and not bring this up. Like, not lie, but just not bring up, hey guys, I noticed that this requires a computer science degree. I don't have one. But there are these things called lies of omission. So then, you know, there's that. But then there's another part of me that says, because if I tell them and that causes me not to get this position, really, I know that I would be a very valuable person on their team, and they would be missing out if they didn't give me this role because of a piece of paper that I don't have. You know, and I have a minor, I just don't have the full degree. And then there's another side of me that says, well, I don't want to lie, which omitting something may be the same thing, could be considered the same thing as lying and could bite me in the ass later. You know, no one checks on degrees. I mean, when you're interviewing people, I don't even, you know, I've interviewed over 70 people this year, and never have I asked them about the school they went to, what the specifics of the degree were, etc. I ask them experiential questions, you know, about what they've done. So I really don't know what to do. I mean, I've already had my manager fill out the paperwork. You know, I've already given that back to the recruiter. Now I'm just waiting to hear back from the recruiter to see if I'm going to have an interview. But I don't want to, like, screw up my chances, but I also don't want to be a horrible person and, like, lie to everyone, you know. And we don't require, I mean, the roles here and where I live, if you have the required experience, they don't require you to have a computer science degree. And I was able to work into the role that I'm in now, and that was fine. And this would be such a good career move for me, and I would just hate for this piece of paper to keep me from, you know, from advancing. I don't know what to do. So if you have any opinions on that, I know this is like the fourth podcast where I've talked about this career stuff, but it's just top of mind. When I either don't get this role or I do get the role, I'll stop all the corporate talk. All right, well, we're going to end it there. So for more episodes of the show, you can go to geekygay.com. You can find... You can email me at adamburns.uk@gmail.com. And Mark, if you have any opinions on the latest dilemma, please contact me. You can also call me, 229-234-7587, and leave a voicemail. And you can find many, many more LGBT and LGBT-friendly shows over at pride48.com. And I will see you guys in the next episode. Bye, everyone. This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.